Hey guys, welcome to the Tom Ward Show. It's time to level up. Today we've got Tommy Duquette. He is the co-founder of Fight Camp, an incredible boxer, instructor, business person, all around motivational kind of guy. I've taken your classes, Tommy. Shout out to Fight Camp. We'll talk a lot about that. But, you know, people hit me up or, you know, sometimes they'll hit me up for, you know, advice. How do you stay in shape? You know, how do I lose weight? And as I got older, I stopped answering that question because after a while you kind of waste your breath and, you know, you give this, you know, track your macros and this is what you should be doing and no one does anything. Right. And what I've found, and I want to see, it seems like to me, the biggest mistake I see people make is they try to go too drastic. And I saw on the Fight Camp website, everyone check it out. Your quote was, don't take a giant leap. It's not sustainable. Build fitness into your lifestyle. Is that the mistake you see people make? Like they go drastic calorie cuts. I got to go to the gym three hours a day and they just can't keep it up.
It's two things. So like, let's start with that one. That one's definitely, I think the number one key metric for success is just like bite off little tiny chunks. It's just like, you know, you're lifting weights. You don't just go like, you know, hey, I did this weight. Let me throw some 25s on there. All right, tomorrow I'm going to throw some more. You go with a little 2.5s, right, as you get stronger.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, go take a 15-minute walk. You know, let's forget the CrossFit class. You know, let's like go out and take a walk for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Baby steps.
For real. Small steps. Put it like if you're a calendar person, put it in your calendar. If you're just a commitment person, like really commit to it. Commit to something small until it feels like it's nothing. Once it starts to feel like it's nothing, just like when you added those little, you know, 2.5-pound plates on each side, once that again starts to feel like it's nothing, then experiment with a tiny bit more strain. That's the way that you can build success. That's how, like, even when back in high school and college, when I was training private clients, that's the way we got the most amount of success, is we added tiny, tiny, tiny little bits of strain over time. And we weren't super ambitious about adding more.
You know, and your other thing too, your other mantra was, and I have a tattoo that basically means this, get a little bit better every day, do something in the interest of continuous improvement. And I've shown this many times, but I have a tattoo. It's called Kaizen up there on the top. It's a Japanese manufacturing term that means continuous improvement. When I read that, I was all about it. Is that something you've always had, or you think, is that something boxing taught you?
Maybe boxing a little bit, but I just feel like it's something that my anxiety made me go in the direction of. Like, I just felt like I got to do something today. It's going to be like, I have to read something or do something, or else I would have felt like I wasted my day.
Were you always just, as a kid, just energy and going all directions? You just had to find an outlet for it?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say that's definitely accurate.
And your grandfather, like, boxing runs in the family. So your great-grandfather was a professional boxer. Your grandfather was a boxer. Your dad wasn't. Your dad had some issues, and that kind of seems like it skipped a generation.
Yeah,
and then
right.
you picked it up. Was it something that was kind of just in your blood? Was it something that was just talked about around the house? Like, you just knew, hey, so, you know, if I need to work out, I can just go to that gym and just jump rope and shadow box. Was it something that was kind of ingrained in you?
I think the interest, the draw towards boxing definitely was. I didn't start until I was about 13, 14 years old taking it seriously. I wish I started younger. But even like at a younger age than that, just there'd be a boxing movie on or something like that. I just felt like it always was already a part of me. Yeah. And maybe because I knew a little bit about my family story, but I always felt like I was drawn to boxing. And then when I finally found myself in a gym, it just felt like home.
We might as well talk about Fight Camp now. I interviewed one of your co-founders, Patrick, about 6 months ago, and he came on my radar because you guys were, well, he was on the Forbes 30 under 30 list by default, kind of, because he was the only one under 30 at the time. He made it, but it was really all you guys on the list. It really has, you know, something for everybody. You know, when you got it immediately, right? When you were in college, you went to Babson, you were taking entrepreneurship classes. You're doing the kind of the startup route and you ran into one of your co-founders, right? And I read somewhere that you said, as soon as you saw the fight trackers, which were big and heavy, right, at the time, but you immediately is that how big they were?
Almost. Yeah. They're probably that heavy.
So he was developing that on the side, and then you guys connected on LinkedIn or something, and
Yeah. So Khalil and my co-founder Alex, they were developing on the side, no funding at all. It's hand making it, right? They're both engineers by trade. Alex, who's our CTO, he's an interesting character, just like Patrick. Like, he just started taking things apart when he was a kid because he's curious how it worked, like a microwave. He'd be like, when I was 14 years old, I'm a knucklehead in a gym getting punching people, stuff like that. He was taking microwaves apart and putting them back together and like making them more efficient and doing stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, they handmade these punch trackers, had them communicating with Bluetooth through a phone. You'd throw punches, spit it on the phone, like that was a jab. And it was at 11 miles per hour. You know, you just move your hands around like this and it wouldn't give you false positives. And at the time I had a friend and a mentor who's now an investor. His name's Nesbitt Haygood. So he ran a lab at MIT, he's a rocket scientist. And I had him take a look and he's like, oh, look, these guys, what they were able to do with no funding, like this is very legitimate. He was super impressed.
So when you were in college, was the goal to start a business? I'm going to start a startup, or I want to get, you know, a good job, or like, what was the vision when you're 21, about to graduate, 22, whatever?
Yeah, I actually started a few years. So I didn't start right after high school. Mm-hmm. So it was more like 24, 25.
Oh, and, okay.
I was boxing, I was teaching fitness, you know, bag classes, stuff like that. And then I made the decision. I was like, I want to start. I remember the night I was backstage at night that I fought, and there was this dude there. I'm not going to say his name, but he was somewhat of a successful professional fighter. He had just fought on ESPN like a year before that, but he lost. But, you know, he was good, right? Somebody you think had success. And he's talking. He's clearly should be retired at this point. Like with marbles in his mouth, he couldn't talk, right? Couldn't get a sentence out. And look, the guy's a warrior. I'm not disparaging him, but I was listening to him right before this fight. And then I went out there and I still won, but I performed horribly because I couldn't get this out of my head. I'm like, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be my story. And it was shortly after that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start going to school. I'm going to take it seriously. I started going to a community college in the area. And at first day, I remember I sat down in class. I'm like, I'm going to treat this like boxing. Like everybody else in the room is against me and I'm competing with them. And that's what I'm going to do. And then at the community college, I ended up being there for almost like a year and a half's worth of credits, 4.0 GPA. Damn. And I probably could have went to Harvard if I wanted to, if I, you know, applied, but I applied to just one school, to Babson College. And it's because there's a guy that I used to work with here and there in summers. He was an older gentleman who started a window cleaning company, you know, whatever, decades before. He only completed like the third grade. He had a hard time with reading and writing, but he grew this business, this window cleaning business, where he had several trucks out and he was doing over $1 million a year. I thought that was so cool, man, this guy. So I'd be in the truck with him, all kinds of business stories all the time. And we'd be in Wellesley, Massachusetts sometimes. Really affluent area of Greater Boston. That's where people get their windows washed. Not in my neighborhood, in Wellesley. And we'd be driving down. Every time we would pass this one campus, which was Babson, he'd point over. He'd call me Flash because I was so slow at cleaning windows. Fast was throwing punches, slow at cleaning windows. And he'd be like, Flash, you see that place right there? He's like, that's where all the big shots go. And that always stuck with me. So when it came time for me to transfer, I'm like, that's where I got to go.
And yeah. was it a good choice? It's a good college for entrepreneurship, which is what you turned out to be, right?
It's not a good college for partying or, you know, frats and things like that. Luckily, I was a few years older than my peers there. It's probably the best college in the entire world for entrepreneurship.
Wow. It's funny how you looked at class, like, because when you say, I mean, first of all, who looks at learning or like you're competing against other kids in the class? Like, not really. Yeah. Everyone can get A's, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like there's only two A's to hand out. Like, you definitely have a unique, you know, perspective, I think. But also when you said that, I'm like, well, being a student is a solo sport too, just like boxing is. Like, there's no one who's going to wake you up and tell you to go run in the morning or tell you to go jump rope or tell you to go shadow box. Like, that's just stuff you is ingrained in you. You just do it. And it sounds like you took that same discipline approach to, you know, being a student too. Where does that motivation come from? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think it probably does come a lot from my upbringing. Like, I did have a desire to grow. and to come up from where I started. And I always felt like I could, you know. And when you say like everybody could get A's, you know, it's one of those things. I'm not convinced, you know. Definitely not everybody can be a champion, right? That's obvious because they fight each other. But not everybody can be as good as you can be, right? Right. Like there's different skill levels and things like that in school. Yeah, it very much is a marketplace for talent, right? So whether it is in school or whatever school translates into. So for me, it was like, I want to transfer to this other school, right? But other people do too. So I think you do have to kind of excel and stand out. And I'm not sure if everyone could get A's. I really do believe that, you know, the way these teachers grade, it has a lot to do, whether, you know, they say it or not, with how you stand relative to your peers in the class. Yeah,
I guess you're right. You know, so as a guy who's trained people and stuff too, and now it's kind of your business is to kind of inspire people and help them lose weight or help them learn more about boxing, get in shape. Is it frustrating that you can't teach that you can't give somebody that fire to go log on to Fight Camp tomorrow and go work out, you know, yes, or go get up early and go to class? Like there's no magic pill. Like you can't shake them and make them get it. And it's the same thing when you're hiring employees, right? You just can't make somebody get it. They kind of have, or they don't. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes. Like it is frustrating, but I mean, with empathy, I guess people are different, right? And I think, you know, sometimes you just have to adjust your communication style with people and things like that to be more palatable for them. You get more success, but yeah, not everybody is going to have that same fire. That's definitely for sure. And it can be frustrating, especially with, you know, loved ones that you want to do better, whether it's with fitness or anything, right? It can be frustrating for sure.
And even guys, check out the app, because like we talked about before, you don't need equipment to do a boxing workout or get a great workout. Shadow boxing is no joke. You know, you think like, oh, I could do anything, right? Shadow box for 3 minutes, one round. You're going to be out of fucking breath. It sounds like so easy in the first 10 seconds, but the last 10 seconds is fucking hard. But they have, you know, workouts you could do for free. You don't need the bag. It's just kind of a way to get you into it. Something you can actually do today. You don't have to wait for the bag to come in the mail. You don't have to get the app. You can try it for free. And that's how I started. I did a couple of shadow boxing workouts on YouTube. Like they were like 15 minutes long or something to like start my workout. I'm like, this is cool. Because again, shadow boxing by yourself, I'm throwing the same fucking sorry combination as I threw 3 weeks ago, you know. But if it's like an instructor walking me through it, it's just sharpening my skills, right? Throwing things I wouldn't have normally thrown to myself. So by taking that, I got a little better. I got better than what I would have done on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was watching your YouTube of the Mike Tyson, you know, knocking that bag around. You know, you go, that's a floor standing bag. You know, I mean, that thing's going to fall over. No, Mike Tyson was beating the hell out of it and it was still standing up. How did you hook up with Mike?
Oh man. So Patrick actually did that somehow. I don't remember the exact story, but he got involved when we raised our last Series B round. So we raised a round, I think it was 2021, where we had, it was led by NEA. So New Enterprise Associates, amazing fund. Rick Yang was a partner there. I think he's on multiple public company boards. He led that round and brought in creative artist agencies as well. So CAA is an investor. They brought in some big names. So in that round, we had Mike, George St. Pierre.
Oh, wow.
Usher, Francis Ngannou. Who else? Catherine Winnick from Vikings.
Okay.
Like one of my favorite shows. She's Lagatha and Vikings. Like super bad. So Mike joined then and invested his own cash, just like all of those people did. We don't do any deals like that where it's like, we say you're an investor and we'll just give you equity. I don't know. These guys put their money down, which is amazing. And we've been working with Mike ever since.
What's he like to work with?
Intimidating for sure.
Still, so
it could just be that it's just like in your head too. You know, it's just his whole persona is intimidating. But like in actuality, it's amazing. He's brilliant. Mike Tyson is absolutely brilliant. He's probably the wisest person I've ever spoken to in my life. It's awesome.
What do you mean by that?
Man, you speak to him and you just get the feeling that he's lived like 20 lifetimes.
He has, if you think about it. It's been all around the world, been up, been down, been everywhere in between.
Yeah, and I mean, he'll go from like quoting Nietzsche, I always pronounce his name wrong, to Nietzsche, right, to, I don't know, just knowing every single, like, we have this wall in our studio too with newspaper from the 20s up to like maybe the 90s, and it's all fighters. And, you know, there's big names there that you've heard of, Jack Johnson, Jack Dempsey, stuff like that. And of course he knows who they are. But then there'll just be some name, you know, that you've never heard of because he never won a world title. He might, maybe he fought for one in 1952 and Mike would be like, yeah, you know, this guy. Yeah, he did this and he did. He's in a complete encyclopedia of knowledge. It's amazing.
So what else you got? What else you got going on, man? Talk more about the app. Talk more. Any other businesses you're involved in? What else you guys got going on?
Man, we have a big project, a secret project that's in the works right now that you know, I think everybody would be learning more about in the coming year. And that's really exciting. Really exciting.
It's involved like with Fight Camp?
Yeah, with Fight Camp. Yeah. And it's things like that. They're the lifeblood of a startup, man. It's just like the stuff that's just a little bit over the horizon that everybody's working towards. It creates that excitement, that drive to really help the company excel. So we're working on that. Working on a couple of secret projects. I actually, you'll be one of the first to know about a separate one that I'm working on too, but some really, really exciting stuff, I could say, that would, I think, is going to take the company to that next level.
Well, nice, man. Well, thank you so much. Everyone, where can we find you on social?
At Tommy Duquette on Instagram, at Fight Camp, one word, nice and easy. And fightcamp.com. Tom, thank you so much for having me. Of course, you asked, bro. I'm like, are you sure you're asking me? You know, I seen you got like Kristen Cavallari, Shahidi, right? That was a good interview, man.
Nice, man. You check that out. Thank you, brother.
Rob Dyrdek, so inspirational.
I'll tell you what, dude, Rob Dyrdek, that interview, everyone check it out. He got me tracking my time. And I'll tell you what, that is a game changer. I track my time for a week, and I just looked this morning, like, to go over analytics of just a bunch of things in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at where I spent my time last week, and I was fucking embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I go, I'm working so hard. I'm doing all this. When I really look at really where I'm spending my time, I'm not working hard at all. Like, I think I am. Got all this chaotic energy running all over the place. But, like, the things I really need to be paying attention to, I'm not.
That stuff unlocks a lot of levels. I'm fortunate to be able to work with a really good executive coach here at Fight Camp. And Fight Camp does a great job of investing in us, the executives, the founders, and the employees too. And he's got me calendar grooming over the past year.
What's that? Like,
get all these like tasks, right? That you know, you're like, I got to do this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing. You're like, I'll get to it, you know? And then sometimes you get to work and you like open your email. Probably the first thing you do in the morning. You're like, I'm just going to start here. There's all these things that you need to prioritize. But you just go to those like instant gratification things. It's so easy to look at this email, answer this one, answer that one. But it might not be the most important and urgent thing for you to do at that point in time. So one of the best, I guess you call it a hack, but processes I put in place is you take all these things and you know when they're due, or maybe some of them aren't even due. And you just literally find the spot in your calendar. You send a calendar invite to yourself and you block that 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour on the calendar for this thing, that thing, that thing. And when the time comes, you have to build good habits. You have to do that thing in that time frame. And it keeps other people, it keeps you on track because your phone goes, bloop, you got to do this thing in 5 minutes. You're like, okay. And then it keeps other people from booking you during that time too.
Yeah. Wow. And so do you go too over the top? I mean, do you leave yourself open spaces? Do you try just the, you don't want every second schedule because you'll never do anything, right? Do you just have a couple or, you know, three or four throughout the day and the rest you leave open for, you know, spur of the moment stuff, emails, calls, whatever?
Definitely leave some. Yeah. But even that, you can put that. So if you know you have to do calls, you can put that in there. I find that that's when I do the most, right? Is when I do but definitely still have gaps in there where people can reach you and where you can collaborate with your team and stuff like that for sure.
Nice. What other hacks? I love this stuff. Like, what else? What other productivity / health, you know, tips you got for us?
That's a good question. Okay, you put me on the spot. Productivity. Get good at delegation. Definitely, as you grow your team, I would say the thing that's gotten me the most comfortable with that, because as founders and stuff, it's really hard for us to delegate these things, especially when we're super passionate about our projects and our businesses. You have to be really good at hiring. You have to be patient, because you're not going to be comfortable delegating. You have to be good at hiring and onboarding, because you're not going to be comfortable delegating until you find that person that you can trust. So like Cassie, who set this up for us today, she's sitting over there right now.
Shout out Cassie.
Yeah, shout out Cassie. She's probably taking notes of things that she's going to say. You didn't say this, and you should have said that. You should have said that, right? Yeah. One of the people that I trust the most. She's amazing. If I ask her to do something, not only is she going to do that, she's going to do the thing that I didn't think to ask her to do as well. She's going to do it better than I thought she was going to do it. So you have to hire well. You have to onboard well.
That's great, man. That's good. Well, shoot, guys, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you subscribe and turn on notifications. New interviews every Tuesday with some of the most successful people in the world, and they teach you how to level up your game, how to elevate your life. So check it out. Who knows who will be next week? You got to subscribe to find out. See you guys.